pen of P.G. Woodhouse, this is What Ho Jeeves. Starring Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster and Michael Hordern as Jeeves, What Ho Jeeves was adapted and produced by the BBC. I'm your host, Fred Callan.
Ask any member of Parliament, and he will tell you that if you want real oratory, the preliminary noggin is essential. Unless pie-eyed, you cannot hope to grip. It was with this in mind that I formulated my plans for Augustus Finknottle the day he was slated to present the prizes at Market Snodsbury Grammar School, for I knew Gus's form. Two nights previously, operating entirely on orange juice, he had failed to propose marriage to Madeline Bassett, getting cold feet at the last moment and delivering a long and totally uncalled-for lecture on newts. In a word, he had babbled. Clearly, this was not to be allowed to happen again. So having finalized my plans for lacing the chump's luncheon orange juice with the best gin my Aunt Dahlia's cellars could provide, I took a stroll through the Brinkley Gardens to see if I could find the man and buck him up with a few cheery words. I ran into him on the lawn. He was walking round in circles, muttering something about not proposing to detain us long, but on this auspicious occasion feeling compelled to say a few words. Ah, Gussie! A lovely morning, is it not?
Damn the lovely morning!
What? I've got good news for you, Gussie.
Yes? Has Market Snodsbury Grammar School burned down?
Not that I know of.
Have mumps broken out? Is the place closed on account of measles?
No.
Then what do you mean you've got good news?
Gussie, you mustn't take it so hard. Why worry about a laughably simple job like distributing prizes at a school?
Laughably simple? Do you realize I've been sweating for days and haven't been able to think of a thing to say yet, except that I won't detain them long? You bet I won't detain them long. Oh, what the devil am I to say, Bertie? What do you say when you're distributing prizes?
Oh, well, you say something about the race not being always to the swift.
What does it mean?
Well, I take it it's supposed to console the chaps who haven't won prizes.
Well, what's the good of that to me? I'm not worrying about them. It's the ones who have won prizes I'm worrying about. The little blighters who'll come up on the platform. Suppose they make faces at me.
They won't.
Well, how do you know they won't? It's probably the first thing they'll think of. And even if they don't... Bertie, shall I tell you something?
What?
I've got a good mind to take that tip of yours the other night and have a drink.
Oh, you'll be all right, Gussie.
But how do you know I'll be all right? I'm sure I'll blow up on my lines.
Tush.
Or drop a prize.
Tush.
Or even... Bertie!
Hello?
Do you remember that kid's school we went to before Eton?
Rather. I won a prize there for scripture knowledge.
Oh, never mind about that. Do you recall the Bosher incident?
Oh, I do indeed. It was one of the high spots of my youth.
Major General Sir Wilfrid Bosher came to distribute the prizes at that school. He dropped a book. He stooped to pick it up, and as he stooped, his trousers split up the back.
How we roared!
Yeah, we did, little swine that we were. Oh, that's what'll happen to me this afternoon, Bertie.
No, Gussie, old man, your trousers won't split.
But how do you know they won't? Better men than I have split their trousers. General Bosher was a DSO, with a fine record of service on the northwestern frontier of India, and his trousers split. Oh, so I shall be a mockery and a scorn, I know it. And you, fully cognizant of what I'm in for, come babbling about good news.
When I said I had good news, old man, I meant about Madeline Bassett.
You can't have good news about her, Bertie. Oh, no, I've dissed myself there completely.
Not at all. I'm convinced that if you take another whack at her, all will be well. She loves you. She told me so.
No, I can't.
What? Why not?
Oh, Bertie, have you ever been through the experience of starting to ask the girl you love to marry you and then suddenly finding yourself talking about the plume-like external gills of the newly born newt?
No.
No. It's not a thing you can do twice. No, I accept my destiny. It's all over. And now, Bertie, like a good chap, shove off. I want to compose my speech. I can't compose a speech with you mucking about. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not propose to detain this auspicious occasion long.
It was a thoughtful Bertram Wooster who walked away and left him at it. More than ever, I was congratulating myself on having had the sterling good sense to make all the necessary arrangements for priming this goop for the ordeal ahead. for the fink nottle I had left behind me, sagging at the knees, green about the gills, and picking feverishly at his lapels in an ecstasy of craven fear, had, in fine, exhibited all the earmarks of one licked to a custard. It was now simply a question of laying my hands on his orange juice. Jeeves, because of some morbid scruples and a past experience with an alcoholic parrot, had refused to do the job for me. And I own that I didn't much enjoy skulking round the pantry until the butler's back was turned, and then sprinting up two flights of stairs with a jug tucked under my dickie. But I got through all right, and a few minutes later was in my room. And the first thing I saw was Jeeves, fooling about with trousers. He gave the jug a look, which wrongly, as it was to turn out, I diagnosed as censorious. I drew myself up a bit. I intended to have no rot from the fellow. Yes, Jeeves?
Sir?
You have the air of one about to make a remark, Jeeves.
Oh, no, sir. I note that you are in possession of Mr. Finknottle's orange juice. I was merely about to observe that, in my opinion, it would be injudicious to add spirit to it.
That is a remark, Jeeves, and it is precisely...
Because I have already attended to the matter, sir.
What?
Yes, sir. I decided, after all, to acquiesce in your wishes.
Oh. Oh, Jeeves. I am touched.
Thank you, sir.
Touched and gratified.
Thank you very much, sir.
But what caused this change of heart?
I chanced to encounter Mr. Finknottle in the garden, sir, while you were still in bed, and we had a brief conversation.
And you came away feeling he needed a bracer?
Very much so, sir. His attitude struck me as defeatist.
Quite. Very well, then, Jeeves. We must act. How much gin did you put in the jug?
A liberal tumblerful, sir.
Would that be the normal dose for an adult defeatist, you think?
I fancy it should prove adequate, sir.
Well, I wonder. We mustn't spoil the ship for a hypothetar. I think I'll just add another fluid ounce or so.
I would not advocate it, sir. In the case of Lord Brancaster's parrot...
You are falling into your old error, Jeeves, of thinking that Gussie is a parrot. Fight against this.
Yes, sir.
Fetch me the bottle from the bottom of the wardrobe, and I shall add the oz.
Very good, sir.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. Oh, by the way, Mr. Finknottle is in the market for bright, clean stories to use in his speech. Do you know any?
I know a story about two Irishmen, sir.
Pat and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Who are walking along Broadway?
Yes, sir.
That's the one he wants. Any more?
No, sir.
Well, every little helps. You better go and tell it to him.
Very good, sir.
Now. That'll do the trick. Now, where, the wardrobe. Good. I'll shove it in there.
What ho, what ho, what ho! Yeah. What ho, Bertie? What ho, what ho, what ho? And again, what ho?
Gussie?
Absolutely right. What a beautiful world this is, Bertie. One of the nicest I've ever met.
Gussie, but...
You will be glad to hear, old man, that you were right. Your theory has been tested and proved correct. I feel like a fighting cock. Oh, but...
Gussie, have you been drinking?
I have, as you advised. Unpleasant stuff. Like medicine. Burns the throat, too. Makes you as thirsty as the dickens. How anyone can mop it up as you do for pleasure beats me. Still, I might be the last to deny it tunes up the system. Huh? I can bite a tiger.
What did you have?
Whiskey. At least that was the label on the decanter. I have no reason to suppose that a woman like your aunt, staunch, true blue and British, would deliberately deceive the public. If she labels a decanter's whiskey, then I consider we know where we are.
A whiskey and soda, eh? Well, you couldn't have done much better.
So? I knew there was something I'd forgotten.
Well, didn't you put any soda in it?
Well, it never occurred to me. I just nipped into the dining room and drank out of the decanter.
How much?
About 10 swallows. 12, maybe? Or 14? Or say 16. Medium-sized gulps. Hmm? Gosh, I'm thirsty. Oh, what an ass you must have thought me out there in the garden, Bertie. I can see now. You were laughing up your sleeve.
No, no, Gussie.
Oh, yes, you were. You were that very sleeve. I don't blame you, man. I can't imagine why I made all that fuss about a potty job like distributing prizes at a rotten little country grammar school. Can you imagine, Bertie?
No.
Exactly, nor can I imagine. Still, for some reason I can't imagine, I was feeling a little nervous, but now I feel fine, Bertie. Fine, fine, fine. Hello, hello, the luncheon gong. Come on, Bertie, old man. I think I'm going to slide out of the banisters. I can't imagine. I simply can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Coming, Gussie. So Gussie's getting a lift to Market Snosbury with Aunt Dahlia, is he, Jeeves?
Yes, he is driving to the school with Mr. and Mrs. Travers in the large car.
Fine. Did you manage to give him your story of the two Irishmen?
Yes, sir. I found Mr. Finknottle in your room after luncheon and related the anecdote to him. He laughed heartily.
Good. Had you any other contributions for him?
I ventured to suggest that he might mention to the young gentleman that education is a drawing out, not a putting in, sir. The late Lord Brancaster was much addicted to presenting prizes at schools, and he invariably employed this dictum.
Oh, how did Gussie react to that?
He laughed heartily, sir.
This surprised you, no doubt, this practically incessant merriment, I mean.
Yes, sir.
There is a ready explanation, Jeeves. Since you last saw him, Gussie has been on a bender. He's as tight as an owl.
Indeed, sir.
Absolutely. His nerve cracked under the strain. He sneaked into the dining room and started mopping the stuff up like a vacuum cleaner. Whiskey would seem to be what he filled the radiator with. I gather that he used up most of the decanter. Golly, Jeeves, it's lucky he didn't get at that laced orange juice on top of that, what?
Extremely, sir. It was a most prudent act on your part, if I may say so, sir, to dispose of the orange juice.
Dispose of it? I found the jug empty when I went up to my room to don the festive raiment.
Indeed, sir.
Jeeves, let's get this clear. Was it not you who threw away that OJ?
No, sir. I assumed when I entered the room and found the pitcher empty that you had done so.
Golly, Jeeves.
I very much fear, sir.
So do I.
It would seem almost certain.
Quite certain, Jeeves. Weigh the facts. Sift the evidence. The jug was in my wardrobe, the door of which has been known to swing open. Gussie had been complaining of thirst. You found him in my room laughing heartily. I think there can be little doubt, Jeeves, that the entire contents of that jug are at this moment reposing on top of the existing cargo in that already brilliantly lit man's interior. Disturbing, Jeeves.
Most disturbing, sir.
And yet, Jeeves, there's always the bright side. These things do cut both ways.
You imply, sir?
Precisely. I'm thinking of Gussie in his capacity of wooer. All this ought to have put him in rare shape for offering his hand in marriage, what?
Then you have not heard, sir?
Heard? What?
That a marriage has been arranged and will shortly take place between Mr. Finknottle and Miss Bassett.
Really?
Yes, sir.
But when did this happen, Jeeves?
Shortly before Mr. Finknottle left for Market Snodsbury, sir.
Ah, in the post-orange juice era.
Presumably, sir.
But are you sure of your facts? I mean, how do you know?
My informant was Mr. Finknottle himself, sir. He appeared anxious to confide in me. His story was somewhat incoherent, but I had no difficulty in apprehending its substance.
Well, 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 Jim. This is splendid news.
Yes, sir.
Well, splendid. Absolutely splendid.
Precisely, sir. This is Market Snodsbury Grammar School coming up on the right, sir.
Oh, is it? Oh. Righto then, Jeeves. Let's see what Gussie's got for us now.
Yes, sir.
I think he might let himself go in a rather epoch-making manner.
It is not impossible, sir.
Yes, Jeeves, a rather epoch-making manner. The proceedings had already got underway when Jeeves and I arrived, and although I saw Aunt Dahlia, who was sitting with a bevy of other governors in the second row, wave to me to join her, I was too smart for that. The essence of strategy on these occasions, as I've had cause to remark before, is to be as near the door as possible. So, with Jeeves at my side, I wedged myself firmly among the standees at the back. A bearded bloke was up on the stage, making a speech from the footlights.
In March, J.B. Brewster was awarded an exhibition in classics at Katz, Cambridge. And in the summer, G. Bullitt was awarded the Lady Jane Wick Scholarship at the Birmingham College of Veterinary Science.
I say, Jeeves, look at Gussie, that pebble-beaked smile.
I have already observed, gentlemen.
He looks as if the juice is splashing up against the back of his front teeth, by Jove.
But to return to today, we are all happy to welcome as the guest of the afternoon, Mr. Fitzwattle.
What? 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 Did you say Fitzwattle? My name is Finknottle.
Fitznottle.
Finknottle.
I should say Finknottle.
Well, of course you should, you silly ass. All right, get on with it.
My golly, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
We are all happy, as I say, to welcome Mr. Finknuttle, who has kindly consented to award the prizes. This task, as you know, is one that should have devolved upon that well-beloved and vigorous member of our Board of Governors, the Reverend William Plummer, and we are all, I'm sure, very sorry that illness at the last moment should have prevented him from being here today. But though deprived of Mr. Plummer, we have with us this afternoon Mr. Finknuttle. I'm sure that Mr. Finknuttle's name is one that needs no introduction to you. It is, I venture to assert, a name that is familiar to us all.
Not to you!
Good Lord, Jeeves, he sounds like a gas explosion.
You don't do those so desk well, what? What? What, what? Fitzmodel. Waddle. Speak. Boys, I mean ladies and gentlemen and boys, I will not detain you long. But I propose on this occasion to feel compelled to say a few auspicious words. Ladies, boys and gentlemen, we have all listened with interest to the remarks of our friend here, who forgot to shave this morning. I don't know his name, but he didn't know mine. And we're all sorry that the Reverend, whatever he was called, should be dying of adenoids, but after all, here today, gone tomorrow, and all flesh is as grass and whatnot. But that's not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say was this. There are sermons in books, stones in the running brooks, or rather the other way around. There you have it in a nutshell.
I didn't quite follow all that, Jeeves.
No, sir.
Real ripe stuff, though.
Gentlemen, let me tell you a little story. Two Irishmen, Pat and Mike, were walking along Broadway, and one said to the other, "Picare, the race is not always to the swift." And the other replied, "Faith and begob, education is a drawing out, not a putting in."
Jeeves, that's about the rottenest story I've ever heard in my life. I'm surprised at you.
If I may be permitted to make the observation, sir, Mr. Finknuttle has altered the plot a good deal since I related the conte to him.
Well, he's still got a pretty good laugh at it. It shows what a popular favorite he's become with the multitude.
Yes, sir.
Boys, if there's one thing in the world I can't stand, it's a pessimist. Be optimists, boys. Now, you all know the difference between an optimist and a pessimist. An optimist is a man who... Hello, Bertie! I didn't know you were here. Now, there is an instance of what I mean. Boys and ladies and gentlemen, take a good look at that object standing up there at the back. Morning coat, trousers as worn, quiet grey tie, carnation in buttonhole. You go, miss. Bertie Wooster, that is. And as foul a pessimist as ever bit a tiger. I despise that man. Why do I despise him? Because, boys and ladies and gentlemen, he is a pessimist. His attitude is defeatist. When I told him I was going to address you this afternoon, he tried to dissuade me. And do you know why he tried to dissuade me? Because he said my trousers would split up the back.
Perhaps as time is getting on, Mr. Finknuttle, we had better proceed with the prize-giving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the prizes. Yes, of course, right. Everybody's going to be shoving along with it. Absolutely. What's this one?
Form 1, Spelling and Dictation, P.K. Purvis.
Spelling and Dictation, P.K. Purvis. Forward, P.K. Purvis.
Ah, here comes a Spelling and Dictation chap. All 3'6" of him. Gussie seems to have taken a liking to the lad.
Hello. Are you P.K. Purvis?
Sir? Yes, sir.
It's a beautiful world, P.K. Purvis.
Sir? Yes, sir.
Ah, you noticed it, have you? Good.
Are you married by any chance?
Sir? No, sir.
Get married, P.K. Furby. This is the only life. You know,
here's your book. Yeah, it looks rather bilge to me as I glance at the title page, but such as it is, here you are.
Drawing R.V. Smethurst.
Look at Aunt Delia, Jeeves. She must have latched on to Gussie's state by now.
I think so, sir. And Miss Bassett, seated beside her, I observe, looks far from happy.
Oh, and Gussie's fallen into a daydream.
Mr. Vic Nuttall! Mr. Vic Nuttall!
What? Who are you?
I'm R.V. Smethurst, sir.
What are you doing here?
I won the drawing prize, didn't I, sir? Sir?
Oh, did you? That was fine. Well, you're just in cocky. Hey, you all?
Sir? Yes, sir.
No, wait. R.V. Smithers.
Here! You're plastered!
What? What? Not so fast, R.V. Smithers. Look. Before you go, there's a question I want to ask you.
Mr. Finknottle, we must be getting on. G.G. Simmons, scripture knowledge.
Scripture knowledge, Jeeves. One of us. We scripture knowledge sharks must stick together, what?
Yes, sir.
Gussie doesn't seem to like him.
Well, G.G. Simmons?
Sir? Yes, sir.
What do you mean, sir? Yes, sir. Had a dastard thing to say? So you've won the scripture knowledge prize, have you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you look the sort of little tick who would. And yet how are we to know that all this has been open and above board? Let me test you, G.G. Simmons. Who was what's his name? The chap who begat thingamy. Can you answer me to that, G.G. Simmons?
No, sir.
Ah, fishy, headmaster, very fishy. This boy appears to be totally lacking. In scripture knowledge.
That's not fair!
I can assure you, Mr. Finknottle, that every care was taken to assure a correct marking and that Simmons outdistanced his competitors by a wide margin.
Well, if you say so. All right, G.G. Simmons, take your bally prize.
Sir? Thank you, sir.
But let me tell you, G.G. Simmons, there's nothing to stick on side about in winning a prize for scripture knowledge. Bertie Wooster.
What?
Bertie Wooster won the scripture knowledge prize at a kids' school we were at together, and you know what he's like. But of course, Bertie, frankly, cheated. He succeeded in scrounging that scripture knowledge trophy over the heads of better men by means of some of the rawest, most brazen swindling methods ever devised.
Jeez, I'm going.
If that man's pocket, as he entered that examination room, were not stuffed to bursting point with this...
Good evening, sir.
Jeeves. My tea?
No, sir. It is nearly dinner time.
What? Oh, I must have been asleep.
Yes, sir.
Nature taking its toll of the exhausted frame, eh?
Exactly, sir.
And enough to make it.
Precisely, sir.
Well, jeez. It was certainly one of those afternoons, what?
Yes, sir.
I cannot recall one more packed with incident. And I left before the finish.
Not much before, sir. The proceedings terminated very shortly afterwards. Mr. Finknottle's remarks with reference to Master G.G. Simmons brought about an early closure.
But he's finished his remarks about G.G. Simmons.
Only temporarily, sir. He resumed them immediately after your departure. If you recollect, sir, he had already proclaimed himself suspicious of Master Simmons's bona fides, and he now proceeded to deliver a violent verbal attack upon the young gentleman, asserting that it was impossible for him to have won the Scripture Knowledge Prize without systematic cheating on an impressive scale. He even went so far as to suggest that Master Simmons was well known to the police.
Golly, Jeeves!
Yes, sir, the words did create a considerable sensation. The reaction of those present to this accusation I should describe as mixed. The young students appeared pleased and applauded vigorously, but Master Simmons's mother rose from her seat and addressed Mr. Finknottle in terms of strong protest.
Did Gussie seem taken aback? Did he recede from his position?
No, sir. He said he could see it all now and hinted at a guilty liaison between Master Simmons's mother and the headmaster, accusing the latter of having cooked the marks, as his expression was, in order to gain favour with the former.
You don't mean that?
Yes, sir.
Egad, Jeeves. And then?
The headmaster brought the proceedings to a speedy conclusion, sir.
I see, and about time, too.
Yes, sir. Mrs. Simmons's attitude had become unquestionably menacing.
A frightful exhibition, Jeeves, and one which will very possibly ring down history's pages. But we must not forget, Jeeves, that Gussie, much as he may have lowered the existing Worcestershire record for goofiness, is all right otherwise.
No, sir.
What? When you say, no, sir, do you mean, yes, sir?
No, sir. I mean, no, sir. Sir.
He's not all right otherwise?
No, sir.
But he's betrothed.
No longer, sir. Miss Bassett has severed the engagement.
You don't mean that?
Yes, sir.
Severed the engagement?
Exactly, sir.
But why, Jeeves?
I believe Miss Bassett was somewhat upset when it dawned upon her that Mr. Finknottle had proposed to her under the influence of alcoholic stimulants. That and this afternoon's performance, sir, if you will pardon the expression.
I see. So my whole scheme's blown out of fuse.
I very much regret, sir.
And we're back to square bally one. Oh, my sainted Aunt Jeeves.
I am sorry, sir.
Oh, right-ho, Jeeves.
What Ho Jeeves is produced by the BBC. Richard Briers is Bertie Wooster, and Michael Hordern plays Jeeves. I'm your host, Fred Callan. Senior producer for NPR Playhouse is Mary Lou Finnegan.